everyone. Welcome to Parenting Unplugged. I'm Monica.
And I'm Elisa.
And we are so excited to have you back on this episode. If you remember back to our last episode, we spoke about what it was like to, the first moment that you held your baby in your arms and all of the emotion and the feels that came along with that, in that such that special moment. And today we're going to just go in a little bit about the first time you brought your baby home, which is such a huge milestone when, especially when it's your first baby, or if it's your baby with, some toddlers at home already. It's such a huge milestone to, the first day you bring your baby home, like you bring your baby to where you live,
Exactly. I think definitely a really big day in your life. I think that probably all the mothers out there can remember the day that they brought their babies home or around the time that they brought their child home for the first time. And it's a really big day. I think for everyone, it does look different. It could be something, really quiet where you're just, bringing home your first child, or it could be you're bringing home a baby to a house of kids. And like a mat, you already know that it's going to be like a madhouse. But going back to what I was saying, it can look different for everyone. And definitely, it's a time that I feel that most mothers will probably remember for the rest of their lives.
I mean, let's go back to, like we always do, like let's go back to us, to me and you, Elisa. And like I remember, taking Noah home for the first time. You have those mixture of emotions because you have that, you're still in that love bubble. You've still got all that oxytocin running through your body, and you are still kind of in disbelief that you gave birth to a baby as well, I feel. And so you have this, this excitement, and you have this anticipation as well. Like, what's going to happen when I get home? I know for me, I was a little bit, kind of a little bit worried because I had so much support from the hospital because you remember I was there for quite a few days, and I was like, oh my God, I'm not going to have any nurses and like pediatricians around me. Like, what about if something
Scary.
happens?
Now what?
So
This is
yes,
it.
and I don't think like women, I don't think mums really talk about that, like the support system you leave behind being like a hospital, because obviously if anything happens, you've got all the people there, right?
This just reminded me. This just reminded me, Monica, of like there's like an emoji out there where you're like wheeled out of the hospital in like a wheelchair and like nurses around you and like people all around you. And then you're like at the end of a cliff and they literally just like push you off a cliff.
Oh my
Like,
God. That
good
literally,
luck.
yeah, like literally. And there's always those things on the internet, like, but don't forget to sleep and don't forget to feed however many times a day, but don't forget to feed yourself and don't forget to exercise, don't get out there. And it's
So many
just
things.
like the list is endless. And I think like when
Endless.
you're a first time mum, you're kind of listening to all of this and you're like, okay, but you're already so overwhelmed by going through the labor process and birthing your baby. And I think the anticipation and kind of like a bit of the anxiety comes from, okay, I'm not going to have that support system at home. I'm going to have a different sort of support system. And also, it's like, but how am I going to do all those things that they asked me to do? Because I can't even walk right now. I can't even, right? So,
I mean, I think that like the best advice is just taking it day by day. And when it comes to social media, dear God,
Oh
don't
my
listen to social
gosh.
media. Don't listen to it. Like, just take it day by day. Take your postpartum and early days with your baby one day, one step at a time, and definitely don't listen to what's out there because a lot of the advice is unrealistic. So it's not, just take it one day at a time and definitely try to just kind of live in your own bubble and don't listen to what's out there for social media for sure.
Oh yeah. I mean, even when you say like day by day, there were some days where I had to take it like hour by hour, right? Because there were
Survival.
some days, yeah, like you're in like survival mode at this point and you are so filled with all these mixed emotions. And the number one emotion you have is, I need to make sure my baby's okay. So
Exactly.
obviously the baby's needs comes above everything else. It comes above
Exactly.
your needs, the healing that the mother has to do. It comes above that. It comes above the relationship with your spouse. It comes above the cleanliness of your home. It's above so everything else that you value in life, in kind of like the normal days. And your priority is just, I need to keep my baby alive. Like I need to keep them okay.
Yeah, that's
And
literally what you think.
when you say like social media, I think, I mean, when I grew up, I didn't have social media. And I know you're the same, Elisa, right? This is a new generation of social media where you've got like Instagram and TikTok and all of these applications. And it's true, they are feeding you so much. You're already overstimulated as a new mum. You don't need further overstimulation through social media.
No.
So
And
yeah,
there's
I agree.
so many different opinions out there. It's like, okay, well, what route do you take, you know? And I think, like, you know, it's fine to maybe take a course or two and take something that aligns with you, but you can't follow it to the T because these babies are not robots. So, like, it's just, you know, it's unrealistic to actually be able to do all the things and to put baby to bed at a certain time and to, I think, like, do what works for you and what feels comfortable for you and your family. So your routine and your life can look completely different. And I think it's good to actually walk into, like, your postpartum days with that mentality, with the mentality of I'm going to do what works best for me and my family, although maybe the next family next to me is not doing the same thing. That's totally okay. It's totally okay.
Because everyone's journey is so different. There is no two journeys the same. You can have similarities, but at the end of the day, every human being on this earth is different. So there's no way one thing for one baby is going to work for another baby.
Of course. And
And
yeah, there's a lot of factors that go into it as well. So, like, you know, support. Do you have I might not have the same support that someone else has. So it might look different to that for that person than it does for me. So it's very hard to kind of, like, compare yourself with other people. It's everyone lives different lives. So
Absolutely.
yeah, lots of feelings, lots of emotions for sure. Like you're saying, I think that, like, you're excited to bring the baby home. But, like, for example, for me, I left the hospital and I was definitely feeling nervous. I can remember feeling nervous in the car with Demo, and we hit traffic on the way home, of course. And coming home, I was just like, okay, I just want to get home so I can kind of, like, get into the feel of things and just kind of, like, relax. And I don't know, just kind of get, because obviously, you know, you're in the hospital for a couple of days. And so I think I was just, like, really nervous to bring her home. I think that's how I felt. And nervous to figure it all out by myself, like, just us two. I had my mom here, but it just, you know, I think that mostly the feeling that came over was, like, the feeling of being nervous while excited also at the same time. It was really strange, but yeah, I think that that is, like, such a big moment, and it can look different for everyone. And you know, like we said, you know, try as much as I want to, like, you know, kind of remind everyone, try to not listen to social media, because everyone's first couple of days will look really, really different. Yeah, but, you know, another thing that I did want to talk about, Monica, was, you know, we have spoken about in previous episodes how we prepared for pregnancy and, like, the moment of being pregnant. Was there anything that you did, like, to prepare for the baby's arrival, like, the last few weeks, or how did you prepare for, like, the day to actually bring the baby home? Was there anything specific that you did?
I mean, I had like a next to me bed set up, and I had, my sterilizer and all of the kind of the gadgets you need, like all the bottles and the pacifiers and all that to hand. So I think I had all of like the to-do list ticked off. But one thing I would say is, if I had to give myself advice and go back in time, or if I gave myself advice just watching that process happen again, I would say to myself, just don't worry about anything else. Don't worry about how you look. Don't worry about how, like how quickly you can leave the door to go for a walk. The state, like not staying in your pajamas all day and feeling like you need to change and whatnot, feeling the pressure of having visitors in the home. If I had to see myself again, I would tell myself, you know what, Monica, just like exactly what you said, Elisa, before, like just stay in this bubble with your baby. Nothing else matters. Just shut out the world, and all you're focusing on is you and your baby. And I think for me, I would really try and block that noise out second time around, and that would be the advice. I
I
wouldn't worry about if your hair's really greasy and you haven't washed your hair in a week. Like, as women, we want to feel our best, we want to look our best, but I feel like you don't have to, it doesn't need to be like that, like things, you can let things slide for the first
Totally
few
fine.
months.
Yeah, totally fine. And I absolutely love what you're saying. I think setting those boundaries early on is going to set you up for success. Like setting the boundaries with the people around you, with what you want to do, with what needs to be done, and letting go of the to-do list and setting like healthy boundaries for yourself. Like, you know what? It's okay. Today, I'm not going to wash those dishes. My partner's going to take over. He's going to do the dishes today, and kind of setting those expectations and setting those boundaries for yourself early on, so you can take care of yourself, so you can take care of your mental health, you can take care of your physical being, because those things are really like so important in those like early days that like it doesn't matter if you didn't wash your hair or if you didn't. I think there's other things that are like more important. If you were able to sleep a little more instead of washing your hair, then sleep a little more, So yeah, and I completely agree with you, Monica. Letting go of like those ex early expectations. You didn't clean your house, totally fine. It's going to get cleaned regardless. Or if you can get help for someone to help you clean your house, do it. I think those things are so important, and taking care of your mental health after you have a baby comes first. So yeah, I think that all of what you're saying is extremely important, and I do absolutely love that. I absolutely love setting those boundaries early on to you, so people can start understanding like, oh, obviously, she just had a baby. Like, if you let them come in and out at any time or anything like that, then they will think that that's just it, that they can do that and it doesn't bother you. So yeah, I do love that. But
And it's hard, like having visitors is like, obviously, it's one of those areas where you don't want to seem, impolite or rude, right? And you want, because, I've got a big family and, we had visitors coming in and out. Like, it was crazy, right? And again, like, I love my family, I love my family dearly, like all of my extended family, my aunts, my uncles, my cousins. But again, if I had to give myself advice, I would probably say, you know what, Monica, you don't need to see people for the first few, for the first 2, 3 months. You don't need to see anyone. Like, just chill. Like, just be in your space, be with your baby, be with your partner, be with your other children or whatever it is. You don't need to see anyone else. And I feel like as well, women need to hear that because again, it's like adhering to social expectations, right? Especially from a big family, which I know you're from a big family as well, Elisa, right? So you have that kind of expectation of like, oh, like your aunties want to see the baby now, your uncles want to see it, and you kind of have that kind of low-key pressure a little bit, right? But then I feel
Absolutely.
like we need to give women the option to be like, you know what, like thank you, but no, like maybe in a few months we can arrange something.
Exactly.
And
I remember one of the early days, Monica, someone was coming over and my house, I wasn't cleaned. I woke up early, and I mean crack of dawn early, to clean my house before that person came over. And I want to say that Gami was just like weeks
my
born.
God.
And now looking back at it, I was exhausted. I woke up, I was exhausted. I was tired and I did not want to clean. But I'm like, well, if I don't do it now, this person's going to come over and they're going to be like, well, this girl's a filthy animal. Like, she does not Whoa, you know? So I'm mad, but looking back at it, I should have been like, you know what? Tomorrow's not a good day. Can you come on the next week, or can you? I don't know. I don't know. I should have like set that boundary early on because I could have used a few more minutes of sleep instead of waking up early to clean. You know, so, and another
Yeah,
thing
it's big.
is like the support around you. I remember also in my early days, I would, you know, come around the house and I would sit there like try to clean on my own and things like that. When one of my good friends came to me and she's like, "Alisa, why don't you have someone come clean for you?" And I'm like, "Because that's expensive." She's like, "You need to add that into your budget. You don't have someone else around you. You don't have like a village, so you need to like, especially right now, get yourself someone that can come clean for you." And then I spoke to my partner about it, and I'm like, "I think we need to do this because I think it's going to be a huge relief for us." So we did it, and at first they were coming like bi-weekly, and it was the most amazing feeling ever. It was as if someone came and like washed my hair and did my hair for me. And I did that. I set up grocery deliveries too. I started doing all the things that I knew that I couldn't do anymore. So all of those things are like really, really helpful. And I really recommend to anyone that is planning on having a baby and might not have a huge support around them. If you can afford it, definitely set that up for yourself. But I think that's one of the things that, like, for me, preparing for Camila's arrival, I did start looking into those things. I started looking into like, you know, maybe we need to get someone that can come and clean for us. Like, what are we gonna do when the baby arrives? How are we gonna eat? So I had my mom, I set up, you know, days for my mom to come over. So she was here the day that I brought Camila home. So when I brought Cami home, she was here already and she stayed with us for 2 weeks. So
Oh,
that was like,
lovely.
yeah, that was part of the preparation. She literally just cooked for us every single day and like kept me alive.
That's amazing.
Yeah, the first couple of days she made like a lot of soup for me. And it was just like really, really needed. And I just remember like her last day here when she was leaving. I'm like, what am I gonna do without you, lady? How am I gonna eat? But we figured it out. After 2 weeks, I feel like it's not as horrible as like bad where you don't have time to cook. So she left us a few meals like prepped and stuff like that. So that was something that I did to prepare. I had my mom come over and do that and help us with the food. And then when it comes to like buying essentials and things like that, I had the nursery set up and I had all of the things like lined up in the house that we needed, but it was more about preparing for support, like what my support was gonna look like. And my number one support here was gonna be my mother in my house to just feed me.
Because I think, and maybe this can even be a different episode on its own, but like nutrition for the mother is huge. Because I think we put so much preparation when we're pregnant, right? Like we're eating all the right foods, we're drinking all the right teas, we're really looking into our nutrition when we're pregnant, but I don't think there's as much emphasis postpartum, like what nutrition looks like as the mum. Of course, for the baby, yes. But especially if you're breastfeeding, or even if you're not breastfeeding, just in general, like you really, the mums need to focus on their health after baby.
Absolutely. You know, that's something that like postpartum doulas do. They come, they like cook for you and they like cook like nutritious food and they will cook like the soups and the vegetables and like the broths and stuff like that. And I wish I would have had that, but I feel like if anything, my mother was my postpartum doula.
Same here. My mum did cook for me, for the house really. For I want to say like even a month or so after Noah was born. So I was very lucky to have her support because she did do a lot of cooking, which meant that I could just focus on Noah and I could just focus on everything that was going on in his world,
Navigating
just
that
being in a
environment
mum.
with a baby, with a newborn baby. One thing that Dominicans do, and I know your husband's Dominican, so you know a lot about Dominican traditions, is like focusing on the mother's health, like a nutrition postpartum. So when I was here, my mom was making these like delicious soups. She was talking so much about avena. Apparently, avena is huge for breastfeeding. So she was making these.
it is, isn't it?
She was making like this avena juice I had to drink every day. She was making just like regular avena just to have as like a snack, like tons of avena all day. And honestly, it made me feel so good. Like I felt so supported because she was making me, like she made me soup like the first week I was having soup back to back. And it's really good. It's nice that we still have like our tradition that focuses on like that wholesome food that's actually really important to have. Because your body's recovering from birthing a baby or from having a major procedure. So either one, your body is recovering and trying to like get itself back in its place again. And then while trying to feed your body, you're trying to feed your baby from your body as well at the same time, simultaneously.
Yes, there's a lot going on there.
A lot going on. But yeah, I mean, for me, the emotions of bringing the baby home, I think were definitely it was I was I like I said, I was nervous bringing her home. But I think that like the moment that I walked in the door, I think like what I was mentioning in the last episode is that I was in a bit of a fog at the hospital, and I did feel like a dip in emotions. I didn't really feel like myself. So the moment that I came home and actually brought her through those doors, I remember that I just like put her down on the kitchen table, she was in the car seat. So Demo was holding like the car seat, and Demo just put her on top of the kitchen table, and my heart just like it was a really deep feeling because my heart sank, and I just couldn't believe that Camila was home. I couldn't believe it. It was the I will forever remember that feeling. It was just so deep, and it was the moment that it finally hit me. I think I was waiting for that moment to come, and I think that so I held Demo in my arms and I cried, and I then just like we picked her up and we held her, and it was just like such a surreal moment. So yeah, it was a moment that I think that I was waiting for since she was born. And I think for me it was just a little bit delayed. But yeah, I will forever remember that moment, Monica. It was incredible.
Surreal is such a good word, I feel like, to summarize that, because you just are in disbelief that you have created another human being. Like, you are just in complete disbelief. I mean, even now, I mean, Noah will turn 2 in April, and I'm still in disbelief sometimes.
Can't
I'll
believe it.
just watch him when he's sleeping. I'll just watch him sleep, and I'll just be thinking, how did I create such like a perfect human being? It's
Oh,
just
perfect.
It's such an incredible feeling. And I know, even if I were to have like more children, I feel like that just doesn't change. I feel like you're just love. I feel like your heart would just get bigger.
They say it grows. I don't know how. I
I
think.
don't know how
I don't know
either.
how it could possibly grow, expand
No.
a second human as much as you love the first. But
Honestly.
please, mothers out there that have multiple kids, fill us in.
I know, because like I look at Noah and just my entire being is like alive for him. Like, he is the only thing that matters to me. Obviously, yes, my husband and my kids and family, of course. But like, when you look at your child, and I'm just like, I would do anything for you, like anything.
Absolutely.
And I feel like as Noah's got older, that feeling just keeps growing.
No.
Like, it just keeps growing.
Yeah, it's very strange the way that it happens is because I know when she was first born, I obviously like you don't know who the baby is that's in front of you because they're not speaking. They're not moving. They can't express themselves. But once they start expressing themselves and you get to know this tiny human,
Oh God,
that
yeah,
is
the
completely
funniest.
It's so much fun, but your heart grows even more, even fonder for them, where it's just like even the tiniest thing that they do, you will make you laugh. And like if the next parent next to you is like, I mean, that wasn't even funny, but like obviously you're the mom, you're like, that was
But
so
then you
funny.
can also identify yourself or your partner in your baby. And that's another huge thing, right? Because you're just like opening up to these other developmental stages where, like George will be like, well, that's you right there. Like he'll be just like showing like an attitude or something. And it's just like, oh my God, like I'm looking at myself like outside of me.
That part, it's really true that the kids come out to be like their parents. Like I didn't think like a real thing, but it absolutely is. They come out to be just like their parents or whoever's around them. It's that's
And
definitely
don't you feel like, oh, like sometimes you'll just be like pottering around the house, doing whatever, and then you'll be like, oh my God, I'm so much like my mum now.
Oh yeah.
Do you get, I get those moments all the time now, and I'm like, oh my
I know.
gosh, like I am my mum now, like even
I
little
am.
things.
Yes,
It's so funny.
I am definitely my mother in some things for sure. And I think that if anything, I'm the closest to my mom compared to like my sisters, possibly.
Yeah. That's so I mean, I know obviously we've gone a little bit off topic today, but I think kind of just wrapping it up, coming home with your baby for the first time is such a huge experience. It's such a huge milestone for you and your partner and all of your supporting people around you. But it's just, I think one thing that I would really like to bring across, like you, Elisa, on this podcast, is that you should never ever compare yourself to anyone around you or anything online for sure. And just really, like, for anyone listening that's like pregnant right now or literally like, experiencing motherhood for the first time, just enjoy it. Like, just enjoy these first months because this it is such an incredibly special moment, and you're not going to be able to get this moment back. So don't worry about the housework. Don't worry about, your clothes or the state of what you look like right now, because everything changes. Like you're not going to, this isn't going to be forever. So just really just take in those moments, like gulps of air, like because and that's what I would say to myself over and over again. Because you can, however much of that moment you've had is never enough.
Yeah, those early days, they're gonna fly no matter what anyone tells you, it's they're gonna go by really fast. So I think like really take in those days and enjoy them as hard as it can be. Take in those moments, the moments of bringing the baby home, the first snuggles, the first hugs, and but also take it really, really slow. And I mean turtle slow, just take it one second at a time, because let's not forget that you just had a baby, right? You just had a baby, and you're also grieving who you were before you had a child. So whoever that person was is going to be slowly changing, and you'll no longer be that person once the baby comes. And that is totally fine, but that's also something that's really hard to process. So I think that's why it's good to just take it a day at a time and start getting to know yourself, who you are becoming a mother, and also get to know your baby and enjoy it, like Monica said.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, it's an amazing episode. I've loved talking about these points for our listeners as well,
Thank you
Just
so much for joining. This was a really, really good episode. I think so many good points on here. And, like we said, I think the first days are really, really something that like should be cherished and just really take them in. So thank you so much for joining, you guys, and really looking forward to the next episode. We plan on still getting into the first early days, continuing talking about what it was bringing the baby home, talking about breastfeeding, and we will be talking about the newborn trenches.
Stay tuned, guys. Take care. Bye.
Bye.